Matthew 18, 21 and 22. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Lord, how thankful we are today that you are a forgiving God. Lord, we're thankful that we've been forgiven so many times, even by the loved ones we have just in this room. And I pray, Father, that you will touch our hearts and make us a forgiving people. I ask you, Lord, that if there be someone here that is not saved, that you will touch their hearts and let them know that they can be forgiven if they'll simply come to you, and Lord, that they will be forgiven and saved, changed for all eternity. I ask, Lord, for every child of God in here that, oh, Father, you would help us to be ever mindful to be forgiving. And then I ask you for freedom and ease to preach that only you can give. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Here just the other day, somebody did something to me for the fourth time in about 9 months, and it made me mad. I got upset. I said, I am sick and tired of doing this over and over again. You ever feel that way? Man, when are you going to get the picture? When are you going to hear me? One time, I drove 150 miles to get you the message. I was upset. We get a little tired when the same thing keeps coming after us, don't we? We get a little upset when people we've been talking to, praying with, crying over, arguing with, working with, don't get the message. And the same little thing comes up, and after a while, we've got sort of a mental boil sitting right out on the end of our shoulder. It's tender. Touch it one more time, I'm going to slap your face. Isn't that about right? Peter says, I got problems with Andrew. How oft shall my brother sin against me? Oh, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I have to forgive him? Lord, wouldn't I be real spiritual if I said seven times? Oh, that's good. Most of you haven't got the patience for seven, right? You got problems with seven. You got problems with five and six and four, three. Some of you got a short fuse. It's just one. I mean, all of a sudden, boy, that little piece of dynamite just goes off because they lit your fuse. Amen or oh me, but it's the truth anyway. That's a pretty good question. Now, that's a good spiritual question. Do you know, when we're talking about salvation, religion of every kind, we're talking about forgiveness. You know one of the major themes of this Bible? Forgiveness. You know what man needs in this whole world out here today? You know what people are running around looking for? Forgiveness. Do you know why people are visiting psychologists and psychiatrists, putting out millions of dollars year by year? People need to be forgiven and know they're forgiven. They need forgiveness. They need to be free from the guilt and the burden and the pain of sin. I heard Brother Brian this morning in the Sunday school lesson, he was talking about people getting offended. And there are lots of people that are sitting home today. They used to go to church. They used to teach Sunday school. Some of them used to preach the gospel. Some of them used to lead singing. Somebody offended them. One time too many. Maybe just once, but two times, three times, 10 times. And all of a sudden they couldn't hack it anymore. All of a sudden they couldn't handle it anymore. I can't put up with this anymore. And they're gone. And they're sitting down doing absolutely nothing. Some of them are saved. They're born again. They're going to heaven just as sure as you're going to heaven. But you know what? They've been crippled. Spiritually crippled. Mentally crippled. Because they cannot forgive. The Bible talks about a root of bitterness building up within us and defiling many. I guess one thing that we ought to really be careful about, and that's what I'm trying to say to you this morning, one thing you ought to be very careful about, don't let anything build up in your heart till you get a bitter spirit even over that little thing, because it'll ruin your happiness, it'll ruin those that live with you, it'll touch other people around, but it can't hurt anybody as bad as it's going to hurt you. Peter said, Lord, I've been thinking this out. And what, you know, we need to know how to live. We need to know what we're supposed to do and how we're going to get along. And my brother, how often and who is going to offend you more than your brother or sister? I go down to the market and meet somebody. I meet some guy selling me a pair of pants and he treats me wrong or whatever. I just don't buy the pair of pants, pitch him in his face and walk out. I don't have to see him again. I don't have to. But my brother, I keep seeing him. He keeps coming back. Even though he offends me, he comes over and wants to eat supper again. We got to put up with each other because the family's going to get together and we're going to meet. How often shall I put up with my brother? 7 times. And then here comes the impossible answer. Absolutely shocking answer. I say, not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. You have never forgiven anybody that much. You know what God's trying to tell you? You need to learn to forgive like I do. You need the mind of Christ. You need a heart like God. Your problem is you've got a proud heart that says, I am worth something, don't walk on me. I'm very valuable, don't put me down. I'm somebody special. I deserve respect. I don't deserve what I'm getting. I don't deserve the kind of life. How many wives have told me, I don't deserve the way I'm treated? How many husbands say, I don't deserve the way I'm treated? How many brothers told me, I don't deserve the way I've been treated? You need the mind of Christ, and without the mind of Christ, you're going to lose. You're going to lose some things very special in life, some very valuable things, if you don't learn to forgive. You know, there's a statement that I just like to make, just as a statement, to just sort of throw it out at you. There is forgiveness with God. You may not have the forgiveness in your heart this morning, and somebody else out there may not have forgiven you yet, and they might not have the forgiveness for you today, but there is forgiveness with God. And let me say to you, that's the most important forgiveness you can get. Even if your brother never forgives you, even if your husband and wife never forgives you, there is forgiveness with God, and the most important thing you'll ever receive is the forgiveness of God. Now begin to look at the forgiveness of God and think about that important thing that you and I need and everybody needs. Let me say there's many different ideas out here about it. As we look at religion, all the different religions of the world, you know what you find? Different ideas on how you get forgiven. Some people think if you go to church real regular and get stars put down beside your name, then you get forgiven. Some people think you can do anything you want to, but until you get to Mary, until you pray to Mary and get Mary's help, you'll never get the forgiveness of God. There are others that think, I'll tell you what, you're just going to live on your own merits. And if you don't live up to the standard, if you don't live by the golden rule, if you don't live by the Ten Commandments, there's no hope of forgiveness for you. Others teach that there's a way of penance, not repentance, penance. I do something, so I've done something bad to you. I just insulted you and did something terrible. Well, if I bring you 3 pies on 3 days in a row, take you out to eat 14 times, I'll be forgiven. Same thing we do with God. Okay, God, I know I committed adultery, so I'm going to go out and I'm going to help 12 little old ladies across the street. It'll make up for it. Hey, none of these things work. You know the problem with most of religion? It doesn't work. People think, I tried religion and it didn't help me. I tried religion, it didn't change my heart. I tried religion and I'm still the same that I used to be. I've lived very religious and somehow it didn't work. Well, that's right, it doesn't work. Religion doesn't work. Salvation really works. Turning over a new leaf doesn't work. Being born again of the Spirit of God does work. Going through Mary, or going through penance, or going through good works, or going through the church doesn't work. Going to God Almighty does work. The direct source, you don't need to go through a church or through a baptismal fount or waters. You don't need to go through some sort of reformation or works or some plan or program. You need to go directly to God. One of the biggest things taught in this book right here is that God hears you. God hears you. Because there is a great high priest ascended to the heavens at the right hand of the throne of God, God hears you. You don't have any big merit with God. But oh, but there's one, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who died on Calvary's cross and paid your debt. He satisfied God. Some of you say, well, I'm not interested in the blood. I don't like to hear about the blood. I'm not satisfied with the blood. It doesn't make any difference what you think about the blood. God was satisfied with the blood. That's the important part. How many times shall I forgive my brother? 7 times? 70 times 7. That's what I'll tell you, Jesus said. And the reason why is because that's the heart of God. That's forgiveness. You and I sometimes are a little bit too proud to ask somebody to forgive us. I know husbands and wives will go a week, a month. Some of you have gone years. And you let this tension build up or this wall stay there because you simply won't say, I was wrong, forgive me. I was wrong, forgive me. Or some of you might ought to go say to somebody, look, you hurt me very badly, but I forgive you. You know what? You can take care of a lot of problems with some simple communication. Simply talking to somebody. You know that's how you get forgiveness with God? Do you understand that? My Bible says over in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's not if I'll go to God and try real hard, if I'll go to God and work real hard, if I'll go to God and do something. No, I just confess it. Somebody asked me here a while back, said, how do you overcome something that just seems to be a besetting sin that you simply can't, no matter how many times you try? I came upon this by trial and error, although it was in the Bible all along. I started on things that I couldn't handle just confessing them every time I did them. You think, well, that's not much. No, it's not. But you know what it did? After a while, there's some things used to bother me, give me fits. I don't even think about them anymore. And I do a great deal of penance, and I go out and knock on 25 more doors every day for a month in order to make up for the sins that I'd committed. No, I just begin to confess it to the Lord. I say, Lord, there it is again. I'm on your side on this, God. I'm on your side. I'm against me. I did it. I'm wrong. I'm bad. Forgive me. And I get up and walk on. And you know what? It didn't happen immediately. And it wasn't just something that overnight took care of the problem. But after a while, I look back and some of those things that bothered me so badly don't bother me at all. And you know what? I just confess. Lord, I'm sorry. Look at me again. I'm ashamed. Have you ever been ashamed to go back and ask God to forgive you the same thing again? Sometimes I've been ashamed. I just literally been ashamed. How can I go back and ask Him? Because He told you to forgive your brother 490 times. And if God asks you to forgive your brother or your sister or your friend or your pastor or your husband or your wife 490 times, you think He won't do more? God never asked you to do more than Him. He said 490 times, that's the standard for you. By the time you got to forgiving them for 490 times for the same thing, then you'll be on a level to where you might say, God, I'm really getting tired of this. But until then, your fuse is too short. You understand? Your fuse is just too short. And that's a problem with most of us. We have short fuses. Even some of you very humble, sweet, kind people have very short fuses. Or you don't yell about it like I would. I'm sick and tired of this. Get out of the way. Daddy's mad today. You might not do it. Or as Linda would say, be careful. Daddy's on a pill today. When I take my sinus tablets, it'd make me a little bit mean. You see why I'm so sweet now? I have a better sinus pill. It doesn't make me mean. This is just me. But you know the truth of the matter is, God is a forgiving God, and God expects you to be a forgiving people. And the only way we can keep going, the reason why we've been together now 41 years and counting, actually dated about a couple of years after that, so we're going 43 or 44, is because we keep on forgiving each other. There's sometimes that woman drives me absolutely out of my mind. There's a few times I thought I must have been blind, stupid, drunk when I married her. And I know there's a time or two she would have shot me if the loaded gun had been close. We're still together because we're still forgiving. I'm still forgiving things. And you know, there are some things she does that there's a middle boil right here. And when she does it, oh, it hurts. We get real touchy. We get down to the place that we just, I just don't think I can handle this one thing anymore. But yes, you can. Yes, you can. You need to understand that part of being a Christian, part of knowing God, part of having the mind of Christ, part of being born again is to have the Holy Spirit of God within you, and that mind of Christ will make you think something like God thinks. Our problem is we don't think like God thinks. We think like gods. Oh, did you hear me? We don't think like God thinks. We think like gods, like we're God. I heard a story just a while back. I thought it was real cute. This daddy is driving down the highway, and he is cussing and fussing at the other drivers. What did he get in there for? Why doesn't he pull over? How come he's done this? He's done this for about 30 or 40 minutes. His little boy in the back seat says, well, Daddy, why do you let him drive on your road? It humbles us sometimes to realize how much like God we think we are. Like we own the road. We own all the cars, and everybody else ought to be paying attention to us instead of us paying attention to them. Everybody ought to just move out of my way. I want to do 76. The cops will let me get by with it. I want to do 76. You think you ought to get in the center lane and do 55. We've got all sorts of differences and all sorts of problems, but I want you to know we need to be a forgiving people. As a forgiving people, we can put up with an awful lot of things. As a forgiving people, we can build a good home. As a forgiving people, we can stay with our brothers and sisters. I don't care who got the refrigerator. Who got mama's old drawers? Do you know what people fight over when somebody dies? What we ought to do is set a match to the whole thing and not let everybody have anything. Might be less families destroyed and broken up and torn to pieces. Fight over things that the people that died thought were junk in the first place. That's the reason why they're still there for you to get. Amen. Look at God and His attitude and the mind of God in 2 Chronicles 7:14, a very familiar verse, especially around revival time, mission conference time, any time you need God. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. It's my people, which are called by my name, that He's talking about. We're talking about Christian people. Christian people need to be forgiving people. Christian people need to be right with God. Christian people, people called by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you ought to be different. It's not enough to be a member of a church. It's not enough to have your name on somebody's roll. It's not enough to attend a service sometime or read your Bible every once in a while. God, help us to have a little change in our mind, a change in our attitude, a change in our reaction. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked way. You know what God says He'll do? I will forgive their sin and heal their land. There is forgiveness with God. The God you and I serve, there is forgiveness. Bless your heart, I can walk into this church this morning or any group of Christians around the world today that are meeting, and I can walk in there and tell them, my dear brother, my dear sister, if you just call on God, if you repent of your sin, confess it. Yes, it's wrong. I know it's wrong. I'm on your side, God. I'm bad, you're right, I'm wrong, forgive me. And the God of heaven, on His own word, said, I will forgive and I will heal. You can't get any better than that. Can there still be revival in our day? You practice what this says, there'll be revival in our day. I don't care if the rapture was taking place 3 weeks from now. There'd be revival in our day if God's people humbled themselves and actually prayed and confessed their sin and asked God to forgive them. God would be forgiving and He'd be healing the land. God is a God of forgiveness. Sometimes we forget that. We get embarrassed. I don't want to go back to God on this. I'll handle this myself. I'm going to just live with this. I'm just going to walk with this. No, 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 no. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I'll forgive them and I'll cleanse them. And I want you to know I'll heal their land. I'll heal their hearts. I'll heal their minds. I'll heal their marriages. That's what He'll do. I'll put a healing between brothers. If my people, I want you to know there's forgiveness with God. But look over in the book of Acts, chapter 13. Paul has gone down to Antioch in Pisidia. He's went into the synagogue there on the Saturday, Sabbath day. And people recognized him as a visiting rabbi. You got to remember that Paul was a very well-educated and highly respected rabbi, teacher. He knew what he was doing. He was speaking in different places. He was commissioned by the people to speak wherever. And as the Jews' custom was, here is a visiting rabbi. And they asked him to speak. And I'm not going to give you his old message. It'd be a good sermon. It's a good sermon, by the way. It's a beautiful thing to preach. But as he's preaching to these Jews, he comes down close to the end of it. In verse 38, he said, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren. When he gets through with his whole sermon, he's given all of his points. He's laid it out, 1, 2, 3. He's quoted verse 1, 2, 3. He's quoted David in the Psalms and whatever. He said, therefore, men and brethren, through this man, he's talking about Jesus Christ, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. And by him all that believe are justified from all things which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. He's preaching to a bunch of law keepers. He's preaching to a bunch of people who respected the law. He's preaching to a bunch of people who believed in living so strict a life that they only went so many steps on the Sabbath day, that didn't eat with certain things, not wash certain ways, that didn't even go into the house of a Gentile. People who lived by the law, believed in the law. And he said, I want you to know through this man, Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins which you cannot get, and a justification which you cannot get by the law of Moses. I'll tell you what, by him, all that believe are justified from all things. When you start talking about forgiveness, you need a way for God to forgive you. I walked out to an anthill the other day, and I had no mercy. I didn't look down and try to pick out the best ants and pull them aside and decide I would let them live. No, I spectracided those rascals. I went in for mass assassination. They were just all ants. I didn't see a one of them look different than the other. And when God looked down from heaven and sees this mass of crawling worms, humanity, he doesn't see the beauty you see. Beauty is definitely in the eye of the beholder. We know that, you know. Some of us look beautiful to a few people. And the other people in the world are all the time wondering why. They don't understand. God looks down across this vast mass of humanity and he sees crawling, putrefying, festering sin in our field. God needs a way to forgive you. It's through this man, Christ Jesus. The only decent man, the only law-keeping man, the only perfect man that ever lived, the world crucified. They killed him. And you think you go out and preach, they ought to accept you? Not if you're anything like him. He had vast crowds. There were sometimes when he fed the 5,000 men, Jews had big families. He fed 30,000 people that day on 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It wasn't just 5,000 men. That was besides women and children. That man that could have a crowd out for dinner to listen to him preach and feed 30,000 of them, 5,000 men besides women and children. That man ended up with just 120 people in a room praying. And you get discouraged because everybody you witness to doesn't just fall down and say, oh, I see God in you of a truth. You're going to follow Jesus. People aren't going to like you. Oh, let me just get a little punch in about Christmas. I'm not picking on you. You're not buying Christmas presents yet. I understand, you know. This isn't December. This isn't November. I mean, do you know why the world loves Christmas? Because it has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. You put that in your pipe and smoke it. You Christianettes that want sermonettes for people who smoke cigarettes. You put that in your pipe. You just think about it a little bit. The reason why this world loves Christmas is because it has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. This world hates Jesus Christ. Most of the religion of this world hates Jesus Christ. They do not like the Jesus of this Bible. This one died on a cross on Calvary. He hung between two thieves. And the worst thing was not his physical death. You know the worst thing about his death? He was made to be your sin. All the filth of your mind, all that crawling mass of maggot humanity walking on the face of the earth that God literally despises in their sin. God hates sin like you hate maggots. God hates sin like you hate cancer. God hates sin like you hate the worst thing you ever hated in all your life. God hates that. But he sent Jesus Christ, and he, the Bible said, was made to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, that a grand substitution should take place. Oh, the love of God! The love of God! That he would take your place and die for you. But that's why Paul can come down here and say, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. Through this man. You know why God is so willing to forgive your sins? They've been paid for. They've literally been paid for. God has provided a way that he can love the sinner and forgive the sin and make the sinner a saint, all through the death of Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him, not by the church, not by your good works, not by all the things you think you ought to do, by him, all that believe are justified from all things. I've had the opportunity in my life to preach in lots of jails and prisons. I remember walking into Huntsville one day, and I never did like those bars closing behind me. Bang, bang, bang. You're sitting down there inside all these little cells, and you're talking to a guy across the table from you. And this guy across the table from you, he don't have tattoos and earrings and have his hair all hanging all over someplace like that and saying, hey, dude, he's got his hair just about as close-cripped as mine. He's dressed in a neat white shirt. He's clean as he can be. He looks like the boy next door. Because the police got a hold of him. They got to him. They kept him clean. Those guys look clean. They don't look like scungeballs. They don't look like somebody that would murder their grandmother. They don't look that way when you see them in prison. Man, they have been cleaned up. But you know what I can do? I can walk down to the deepest cell there is. I can get on death row and I can find the rapist and the murderers. You know what I can tell them? Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. Oh, but if I can do that, then I can walk out here at Dominion and walk into their church out there and I can tell everybody living there with all their money and with their fine house and everything they got, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. And by him, you can be justified. Now, you may not understand it, but that word justified is the legal term of what we're talking about most of the time when we talk about salvation. When I say I got saved on such and such a day, first day of September 1957, I mean God justified me that day. That's right. God forgave my sins. God took me into the court of heaven, and there he took all my sins, placed them on Jesus' account, took the righteousness of Jesus Christ, placed it on my account, and I walked out, and the verdict was not guilty. Not guilty. Read him before the law. Show him his rights. Do this and he said, not guilty. Through this man. Through this man. I want you to know, God found a way. God made a way. God had a plan. And that plan was that Jesus Christ would die for the sins of mankind. The love of God. What does John 3:16 say? Everybody ought to know that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God did not send his son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I would say to you, my Christian friend today, you're sitting here and you're not saved. You're still holding off. You're still living in your religion. Are you still waiting on making a decision somewhere? Listen. How in the world can you sit back when the love of God has been demonstrated to you in the death of Jesus Christ? How could you say no to him a single day? How could you turn your back on an invitation to take Christ as your Savior? How in the world could you look at the love of God in Christ Jesus who would go to the cross of Calvary and bear your sin and then you turn him down, turn your way, go your own way and not respect that one that died for you? I tell you what, you can be justified from all things which you couldn't be by the law of Moses. Look, if you will, over at the book of Acts, verse 26. Paul's preaching another sermon. This one's before Agrippa. Now Paul's in a prison cell. He's there because of his testimony. The word of God is stand on what he's doing. Acts chapter 26. And again, a tremendous message. I just want to hit a couple of verses of it. Look at real verse 17 and 18. He's giving his testimony and he's talking about what Jesus said to him when he got saved. In verse 17, delivering me from the people, that's the Jews, delivering the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inherit among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Man, what a message. God came down and got a hold of a fanatic Jew that hated Christians and stopped him on the Damascus Road, blinded him, dumbfounded him, changed him, made him his preacher. And he was faithful to the calling that God gave him. And here he is. Down in the later part of his life, after he's preached a long, long way, done an awful lot, he's still in trouble. He's still being buffeted. He's still got his problems coming his way. And he's still recounting his testimony. All these years, year after year. So you wonder, hey, old brother Rindle, I've heard your testimony 25 times. Well, if I hang around 25 more times, you'll probably hear it that many more times. You know the best thing that ever happened to me? I got saved. Man, I wasn't the sweetest little boy in the world. I got saved. God Almighty could have sent me to hell justly. I got saved. My life could have ended up on the rocks of this old world, and yet God in his mercy 39 years ago saved my soul and changed my life and changed my future, and I'll never get over it. You may take your salvation lightly. I don't know. I'll never get over mine. Day after day, I get up, and after all the things God's given me, the health that I've had, the family that I've had, the blessings that I've had, I get up and I think, Lord, I thank you, I'm saved. I lay down in bed at night and I say, God, you did something wonderful. I thank you that I'm saved. And here's old Paul sitting down towards the end of his ministry. He's preaching before a king. And what does he do? He pulls out his testimony one more time. Let me tell you about it, old king. I was down on the Damascus Road, and somebody came and spoke to me, knocked me down, blinded me, got a hold of me. And he said, here's what I'm going to do for you, Paul. I'm going to deliver you from the people. That's the Jews that were after you and persecuted, and from the Gentiles unto whom I now send thee to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light. You remember when your eyes got opened? My eyes got opened. Praise the Lord, all of a sudden, the things I despised, now I loved. Some of you old drunks, you just sober as a post. Some of you old cussing, reviling people, you got tenderness and sweetness in you right now. Why? Because He opened your eyes. I can never remember far enough back when I didn't know God had called me to preach. I was lost, and I felt like the thing I had to do was get saved and preach the gospel. I've had people tell me God didn't do things that way. I don't know. He did it to me. I didn't want to preach. I didn't want to get saved. I didn't want to be some sissy preacher. But you know, God saved my soul and He changed my life. And after being saved, the best thing I've ever had happen to me is preach the gospel. I love what I do. I love what I do. He turned my eyes from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto the power of God. And notice that, here's the conclusion, here's the result, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inherit. You know what God did for me? When He saved my soul, He did the same thing He did for the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul's headed down the road to hell, fighting his way all the way he can. Religious but lost. Religious but damned. Religious but one heartbeat out of hell. One of the most righteous walking men that ever walked the face of the earth. He was one heartbeat from the burning of hell. And God stopped him on the Damascus Road, let his eyes see, turned him from darkness to light, turned him from the power of Satan to the power of God, and he received forgiveness of sins and an inheritance. I won't leave my kids much in this life. I'll spend most of it. But I tell you something, I may be a poor boy down here, but I'm headed for a man. I'm going to a place absolutely so rich they pave the streets with gold. I'm going to a place that has the light of Jesus Christ every day. There's no darkness. There's no night there. There's no sin there. I'm not going to be plagued with my own pride. I'm not going to be plagued with my own lust. I'm not going to be plagued with my own foolishness. There's no sin there. I'm headed for the presence of Jesus Christ. If you're here still in your religion, my friend, you're going to split hell wide open and you'll never see the light. God help you. Oh, forgiveness of sins and an inheritance. What a blessing. The night I got saved and realized that all my sins were forgiven. What a night. I couldn't stop crying. It just 12 hours. I couldn't sleep. I never slept that night at all. Somewhere around midnight, I made my peace with God. What a day. Why don't you come to God today? Don't you come to God today? Oh, my Christian friend, you've got so much bitterness hanging all over you. You got so much anger down here. Why don't you get down here on your knees and just confess it and get it right. Just get cleansed out and just accept God. My lost friend, you're here in your religion or you're here in your self-righteousness or you're here in your sin. Whatever you're here in. Why don't you just recognize? Why don't you just open your eyes? Why don't you just listen? Believe the Son. Believe the message. Christ died for me. Christ loves me. He paid my debt. He'll save my soul. Why don't you let Him save you? Why don't you run to God? Why don't you just get out of that seat and run to God? I was holding a revival one time, and I'm preaching on salvation, and here's this person at the back. He just jumps up and starts running down. He didn't let me finish preaching. I got to get saved. Praise the Lord. We stopped the meeting right there, gave the invitation. Why don't you just run to God today? In Colossians, and I'll finish with these four verses. Such tremendous verses. Colossians chapter 1 verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. There is forgiveness with God. God will forgive you. God will forgive your sin. God will save your soul. God will change your life. What do you have to do? Believe it enough to accept it. Believe it enough to accept. I'm tired of my sin. I'm tired of my religion. I'm tired of my foolishness. I want peace with God. I want forgiveness with God. Have mercy upon me, Lord. Forgive me. And the God we serve is a God of forgiveness. He will forgive your sin and save your soul today. Give you not only forgiveness of sins, but an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Let's stand and sing number 249. Just as you are, would you come to God and let Him make you what He wants you to be? Just as you are, would you come to God and let Him forgive your sins? Just as you are, without any arguments, without any pleas, without any excuses, just as you are, surrender yourself completely to God. Let's sing it. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You're a forgiving God. Make us a forgiving people. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good day.